This is Member Care Media, a ministry of TWR, with some thoughts to help you in your work and daily life. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again. I'm starting a short series today entitled Making Your Kids Safe Again. This is related to the fact that unsafe things can happen to them, and I want to help you think through some things that you can do to get them in a safe place again. I'm going to start with a made-up case I've taken from many different experiences to illustrate what happens and what could happen in a family when some sort of crisis or trauma comes to pass. I'd like to introduce you to Sue, the mom, and George, the 4-year-old boy, and Ron, the dad. Now, Sue and Ron live in a country that's not their home, and they are guests in this country, and Ron has a job that causes him to be out a lot. He either travels around the country or he travels around the region, and so he's out of the picture fairly regularly. For the purpose of this example, the city is relatively big, and Sue has a car and gets around and drives and everything. Well, one day Sue was out driving, and she stopped at the signal, and George is in his car seat in the back, and all the windows are down because it's not too hot in the day yet. It's sort of fresh still. And so Sue isn't thinking about much of anything except trying to remember that she should have written down something else on her list. She doesn't see the two men come up behind the car. One goes on the passenger side and one goes on the driver's side. The man in the driver's side sticks a gun in her face and tells her she had better give him her purse right away or he'll shoot. So she's in the process of fumbling around for her purse, and she notices that the guy on the passenger side has stuck his arm in and his gun is right in front of George's face, and he's very agitated, and he's saying, "Hurry up, or I will hurt your child." In 10 seconds, the incident is over. The men run off across traffic to where their compatriots probably are, and they have Sue's purse, all her money, and all her ID. Sue is very traumatized for a number of obvious reasons. 1, she was almost shot. 2, she almost thought she was going to lose her car. And then she starts thinking about George. George is screaming, of course, because he didn't like the yelling. He saw Mom get really scared and she's crying. And while he knows he had a gun in his face and that was scary, he's also very afraid because he sees Mom very afraid. Somehow or other, Sue manages to make it home. She doesn't remember all the details. The police are called and all those kinds of things happen. And Ron is contacted. Because Ron happened to be out that day and he wasn't supposed to come back for a few days, he had to change his arrangements and it took him till evening to get back. The next few weeks were very stressful. Sue had all the normal reactions you would expect somebody to have. She was very frightened. She didn't want Ron to leave for a while, and she didn't want to drive by herself. She didn't want to go in that part of town, and she didn't want to expose George to anything. But because she's an adult and has a lot more reservoir of things to say and to feel and to express, she was able to talk to her parents, talk to her other family members, talk to her pastor, talk to Ron. And over time, Sue was doing better. Now, that doesn't mean she wasn't having difficulty sleeping at times. But within 3 weeks, she was basically doing better. On the other hand, let's look at George. After 3 weeks for George, it was as if that thing had just happened the previous few hours. He turned from a happy-go-lucky little boy into kind of a withdrawn child. He became very clingy. He didn't want his mom out of his sight. He would throw a fit if Daddy left, and Daddy had to leave, so there was a lot more drama in the house. He wouldn't go to sleep by himself. He insisted on trying to sleep as much as he could in his parents' room. And if they would put him in his own room after he fell asleep and he would wake up in the night, he would come running into their room very upset. He'd been dry for many months in terms of his own bladder control, and that changed as well. He started having accidents regularly. And to be honest, he acted a little more like a 2-year-old than a 4-year-old. Sue's wondering all kinds of things. Not only is she dealing with her own stuff, but now she's got this little boy that's doing all these wild things. Is George going crazy? No, I don't think he's going crazy. George is actually having a fairly typical age-appropriate reaction to significant trauma. The question is, how long does that go on, and is there anything that Sue and Ron can do themselves to help? The purpose of the rest of this series is to talk about what do we do as parents to help, and what do we do as parents without the bunch of experts like me to fly in and rescue things. Am I talking about not having experts help? No, I'm not. But I am talking about you as parents doing things to help yourself. What do you do when you have to live for a while before you can get help, especially the help of experts? Can you actually make your child feel safe again? Well, that's the purpose of the series, and so I'm going to focus for the remainder of our time together today on a few basic issues. I want to talk in the following programs about how to be aware of how you're doing and how that impacts your child. Because if we're not careful, we can accidentally continue their anxiety just by how we're choosing to behave and relate. Secondly, I want to talk about how to revise some of the ways in which to play with your children. If you notice trends that may look somewhat problematic to you, how do you replace those with other adaptable behaviors? I also want to talk about reassurance and how do you reassure your child in a way that doesn't deny the reality of what's gone on, but also tries to put some positive spins on it. I'm going to be covering a number of those things, so I'm sure you'll want to pay attention. Let me just offer a word of encouragement to you parents here. I believe you are and can be the first and foremost best caregivers for your children. You know your children better than anyone else does, and I want to help you to use this knowledge to help your child before anybody else can get to you. I believe the things you do in the days and first few weeks following a trauma like George experienced can be of strategic importance. And I also believe that what you do can determine whether or not you or George will need any additional help. Here are two quick ideas for you to think about before I talk to you again. First, bad things happen to kids all the time, and kids most often recover. Remember that your child can be resilient. What happened to George isn't necessarily going to damage him for life. Most, something like 90 to 95% of children, can recover from things like this without long-term effects. Time is a great healer. Second, you can help your own Georges right now, today. Here are the things that you can do. Listen, comfort, acknowledge, reframe, and encourage. L care. I just made that up. First, listen to them and their stories. Then comfort them in their fears. Acknowledge the event and reframe it in terms of its continuing impact. Encourage them to talk with you when they need to. And encourage them that it will become less scary as time goes on. If you have just been through a traumatic event, then you can do this right now. If you haven't, then think about these concepts relative to a past event. You are there, you are with your kids, and you are an important resource for them. Talk to you next time.
This has been a presentation of Member Care Media. We invite you to explore our website, where we offer audio features and resources for you and your entire family. We also have links to other websites that can provide further answers and resources to meet your needs. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.